Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The University of Tulsa Theater presents a musical this weekend that won 8 Tony Awards in 2007, has an arresting score by singer-songwriter Duncan Sheik, yet remains less than well-known. Spring Awakening is a rock musical based on an 1891 play by German expressionist playwright Frank Wedekind of the same name. The play was controversial from the start for its frank depictions of abortion, sexual identity, child abuse, and suicide. Set in 19th century Germany, it tells the story of teenagers discovering their sexuality in a puritanical setting. The subtitle of the play, A Children's Tragedy, provides a starting point and an essential point about the piece, according to my guest today. Director Michelle Miller-Dill says this musical surrounds the essential discussions parents have to have with their children as they enter their teenage years. And both play and musical are warnings against a repressive and sheltering atmosphere when it comes to sexuality. Music is obviously for mature audiences, although Dill hopes this very entertaining musical will open frank discussions between parents and teenagers. Spring Awakening opens tomorrow night at the Lorton Performance Center on the University of Tulsa campus, with performances at 8 p.m. through Saturday, with a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. Michelle Miller-Dill is my guest today on Studio Tulsa. Michelle Miller-Dill, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, this play, Spring Awakening, won a whole host of Tony Awards just a few years ago. But I suppose because it is a mature show, and I think because of the content and what people perceive to be the content, when you say Spring Awakening, people say, well, what is this show? I've never even heard of it. Tell us a little bit about Spring Awakening.
Yes, if you were to Wikipedia this show, it pops up different things about the, shall we say, salacious content of the show. And it actually isn't that way. The show is not nearly as bad as people try to make it out to be when it comes to content. Though we do have a PG-16 rating on the show, I want people to be informed when they come in. I'm hoping that people actually bring their kids to it so that when they go home after the show, they can have a conversation.
The show is perceived to be about sex, and what it's really about is the failure of society to protect children.
Exactly. That is my take on it. And I saw the original Broadway show back in 2006, and I can tell you there was nothing in it that I hadn't already seen. As an educator, there was nothing in it that hasn't made
haven't
its
heard
way,
on the news
that I haven't heard in the news. But there was nothing in it that hasn't made its way to my door as a university professor. There's teen pregnancy. There is questioning sexuality. There is a very brief love scene with very brief nudity. We saw worse in Rent. When we did Rent several years ago, you're not going to see anything you haven't seen, especially on a university campus down by Fraternity Row, I guarantee. Guarantee you're not going to see anything worse than that. There's some language, but as my son says, Mom, I heard it all in the hallways at school, and he's a seventh grader. So he's actually going to come see the show. He doesn't want to because he doesn't want to see a musical, but he's going to come see the show and we're going to have a discussion afterwards. And he's not looking forward to that at all, but we are going to do that.
And this is a powerful piece.
It is a very powerful piece. I've seen it 150 times. I don't know. I've been directing it since January, and there are parts in the show that move me to tears every single night, and there are parts in the show that are very funny, and there are parts in the show that are shocking and that I don't want to watch. There's one particular song called Left Behind, and it's after a very tragic event that happens in the show. I don't want to give away too much, but a very tragic event that happens in the show. And it is incredibly difficult for me to watch this. One of the young people in the show makes an unfortunate decision. It's a young boy in the show. And the children are left to deal with his decision that he made. We had our Sitzpro, which is the first rehearsal of the orchestra. We had that on Saturday. And my 12-year-old was with me. And he couldn't understand why during that song I kept hugging him and telling him that I love him. He finally just goes, Mom, I know you love me. I said, but you know, I can't say it enough. When I hear this song, I cannot say it enough to you.
And the singing in this piece is so, I mean, Duncan Sheik did the music.
Yes.
And this is probably not that well known a name in Broadway circles. He's done this one Broadway show,
right.
but he's, you know, he writes songs in the style of Nick Drake, he's a singer-songwriter. And tell me about that sensibility in a Broadway show.
Well, his, I believe his big hit back in the 90s was called Barely Breathing.
Yeah.
The songs, if you've listened to Duncan Sheik, you're going to hear his sensibility, his songwriting style. And when we first approached this, I rank that in sort of the folk rock category, but there are elements of punk that have been brought into this, and not the, I know I'm going to offend somebody when I say this, but not the kind of commercialized American punk that we were used to back in the early 80s. It's more the Echo and the Bunnymen. It's more Sid Vicious kind of European punk, where it is angry young people who have something to say, and music is the only outlet they have. Because Spring Awakening, as you know, lives in two different worlds. It's based on The Awakening of Spring, a children's tragedy by Frank Wedekind, and it was written in late 19th century Germany.
And it always goes with the adjective controversial.
Yes, it was banned until, it was banned for almost 10, 15 years before they actually were allowed to put this play on because of the controversy that surrounded it. And the themes that existed then still exist today. Everything that I just talked about, teen pregnancy, questioning abortion, over 100 years ago people had issues with that. We do not tell anybody what they have to believe. We leave it out there for the audience to decide how they feel about it and what they believe about it. But the play it's based on was very controversial, and it was, and there are scenes from that play in this musical. And then they switch into Songworld, and Songworld is modern. Songworld is punk rock. Songworld is a rock concert. We have rock lighting. We have a rock band. And so it's quite anachronistic, but it's high energy, and it's very German expressionism, where it shocks you out of just sitting there in your seat and letting it wash over you.
And you have this mix of this anachronistic play,
yes,
and this very modern music, and it's both going on at the same time?
Yes, both going on at the same time. You have, and in fact, in some of the songs you have scenes, and it switches back to the adult world is what we're calling it. And the adult world is kind of this amber glowed, stark brown. It's all based on notions of nature, where that world is decaying, leaves in the fall turning brown and falling off. And then the children's world, the kids' world, and I say children, they're 15, 16 years old.
In the play,
not in real life. but their children in the play, their world is very colorful. Their world is the Spring Awakening. And Spring Awakening, what it refers to is puberty.
Yeah.
Just plain and simple, refers to puberty.
Discovering the body.
Exactly.
And there are a few scenes of discovering the body.
There are. And I will tell you that we have handled them as sensitively as we possibly can. If anybody did see the original Broadway show, there were a woman's bare chest at one point. I have taken that out. I feel at the college level it's unnecessary. There's nothing in the play that indicates it has to be there. And the last thing I want during that particular scene is some giggles from the house.
Or somebody walking out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think this is an important message. And what I wrote in my director's notes is, the mother of a 12-year-old, things that keep me awake at night, I need to give my son enough information so that he knows what's going on, but I don't want to give him too much because he doesn't know how to handle it just yet. So I know that for any parent, that's such a delicate balance. And that's how we've tried to treat this beautifully written musical that we're doing, with that delicate balance, that we're not trying to tell anybody, this is how you should do it, this is how it should be. The play's not written that way. It is, hey, what do you think about this?
Now, you know, usually at a university level, you're working with a source material that, you know, your young actors and singers they're going to experience down the road. You know, they're having to learn about this ahead of time to be able to play the part. This, on the other hand, they're probably teaching you.
I will tell you, I can't really talk about the scene because it's one of those things that you would edit me out on the radio if I talked about a certain scene. But there is a certain scene in it. We don't see anything. It's more
implied
than it is actually what we see on stage. But every time, I finally had to get my husband, Ed, is the fight choreographer for it. And then Stephen Marzoff, who is another faculty member that we have in the performance faculty in the theater department, I had to talk with those two gentlemen because it dealt with a scene full of boys. And I said, I need some help because I'm a 44-year-old mom and I'm really embarrassed talking to these college boys about this particular scene. Can you guys kind of dude it up for me? So we talked about the dutitude of this particular scene, and you know, that's one of my failings. It's not the failing of the script or the failing of the actors, because I think they were absolutely open to me talking to them about it. I was embarrassed.
Yeah, right.
And then my husband pointed out, well, you know, you're going to have to talk to our son about this one day. And I went, no, you are. It's going to be you. It's not me.
But I would think this material really speaks to these kids because they've just lived this. I mean, you know, spring awakening. They're living adolescence, late adolescence, early adulthood. These are the same themes that are going on in their lives.
Absolutely. It breaks my heart as an educator when I have a young person in my office and they say, I think I might be gay. How do I tell my parents? Do you think my parents will still love me? Mm-hmm. I have a young person who comes into my office and says, I might be pregnant. What do I do? Or even if they just come in and they say, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. What am I doing with my life? They're 18 and they expect that what they're doing right now is what they're going to do forever. I know very few people.
Or there's going to be a straight and narrow path to follow. Yeah, and of course.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a beautiful line actually in another musical called Passing Strange. And at the end of this, it's sort of a semi-autobiographical tale of this man who's my age. And he looks back and he says, you know, he's talking about college, and he says, you know, it's a sobering thought to think that all of my life decisions were made by a teenager. And there's that sobering moment that these young people in Spring Awakening are making major life decisions that really do impact their lives because their parents in late 19th century Germany, didn't give them any information. None. They don't know where babies come from. The lead character, Wendela, has been told that you can only have a baby if you're married. Hmm. So that's leaving out a little bit of important information. just a tiny bit of important information.
We'll talk about the songs that Duncan Sheik wrote for this particular show. They're very tuneful. They just sort of have this, again, this folk rock sensibility, sort of a little bit of punk, but they're really wonderful songs.
They are incredibly well-written songs. They're absolutely integrated into what's going on with the rest of the script, but they're modern, whereas the scenes aren't. The scenes are 100 years old. The songs are the interior workings and feelings of the kids. So they're what's going on in their mind, what they wish they could really say if they had the chance. And so it's a complete different sensibility with lots of energy. I will also say that, especially on the up-tempo songs, our goal is to get the audience up out of their seats, just like a rock concert. So if people feel so moved to do that, please know it's completely appropriate, and we want you dancing.
Now, was that a function of the – I mean, I can't imagine people on a Broadway show actually standing up and dancing. They do that?
The night that I was there and saw – actually, I had to explain the show to the gentleman sitting next to me. I said, I live this every day. I work with college students. But at the end of the show, everybody was up in the final song.
Yeah.
And I look out and there's Christian Slater and there's all these TV and movie and Broadway people out in the audience just breaking it down with the same as the rest of us. You know, we're all having a good time. So this show has drawn a lot of interest to it. But these TU kids bring so much energy to this piece. I don't know how people can possibly stay in their seats, especially once we get to the second act. And there's a song, I'm going to call it Totally Trucked. That's not the real name of it, but that's the name I can say on the radio. That song, I think every single person in the universe can relate to it. And I hope people stand up.
Well, let's play a song we can play on the radio.
Exactly.
What would you suggest?
I would suggest My Junk.
And what is the scene setting for My Junk?
Everybody, every single character makes an appearance in My Junk. And what it is, it's basically My Junk is You. In the midst of this nothing, this miss of life, I can't remember the total lyric, but it's basically, I just wait for you to walk by me because you're my junk. We always talk about, you know, they got junk, they have baggage. I always say that I have matching baggage. Mm-hmm. At least mine's matching. But the junk here is you're what I'm addicted to. You are what keeps me going. You're the reason I get up in the morning. My junk is you. I go up to my room, turn the stereo on, shoot up some you, and the you is some song. So yeah. It's all metaphorical. It does have some drug references, but there's actually no drug use in it. The drug is love. The drug is you, the person that they're attracted to.
Well, let's hear this. This is from Spring Awakening, which opens Thursday at 8 o'clock at the Lorton Performance Center at TU. TU Theater presenting Spring Awakening. And we're going to hear music from Duncan Sheik's Spring Awakening here on Studio Tulsa.
In the midst of this nothing, this mess of a life, still there's this one thing just to see you go by. It's almost like loving, sad as that is. May not be cool, but it's so where I live. It's like I'm your lover, or more like your ghost. I spend the day wondering what you do, where you go. I try and just kick it, but then what can I do? We've all got our junk, and my junk is you. See us winter walking after a storm. It's chill in the wind, but it's warm in your arms. We stop a snow line. May not be true. We all got our junk, and my junk is you.
You have to excuse me, I know it's so off. I love when you stuff that's rude and so wrong. I go up to my room, turn the stereo.
That's music from Spring Awakening. My Junk is the name of the song. Spring Awakening opens Thursday at 8 o'clock and runs through Saturday with a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock at the Lorton Performance Center. My guest today is Michelle Miller-Dill, who's directing the piece and is director of musical theater at TU. And this is the big spring musical. And again, you said that you have this dichotomy of this 100-year-old play. And I've heard the music, and it's like all of a sudden, this music just sort of cuts.
Yes.
And I guess we're right back 100 years ago.
Yes.
And it's a very interesting technique because, you know, you're building up to this big ending, and all of a sudden it just goes, wink, and it's gone.
Exactly. And I'm also teaching theater history this semester, and we read The Awakening of Spring, and we really studied German Expressionism. And I don't want to get too technical because, honestly, people don't care. I just have to be honest about that. Unless you're a historian, you probably don't care. But in German Expressionism, there are those sudden things that happen so that you can't just sit back in your seat and let it wash over you. You have to have an opinion on it. It makes you want to sit on the edge of your seats. There are times that the kids talk directly to the audience when they're singing. And we treat these songs either as a music video or we treat them like a live rock concert. In fact, I told them, I said, throw out everything I ever taught you about musical theater because this is not musical theater. This is rock.
Now, how do you stage something as a rock video in a live audience setting?
Couple of things. First of all, we were given a great set by Michael Rhea, who is our set designer. And I just have to say, Michael Rhea actually worked with the original set designer of Spring Awakening. He designed another Broadway show with her. And he spent hours talking to her about the set for Spring Awakening. He's interviewed the lighting designer for the original for Spring Awakening because he just published a book. Hmm. And so he interviewed all these people intimately connected to Spring Awakening. And so he really brought the flavor of my vision plus what the set needs to do.
And so what does the set need to do in this piece?
The set in this particular piece represents three different worlds. On the ground floor, we have the kids' world, because that's as high as they're ever allowed to ascend. Then you have this pit that's in the middle of the second section, which is raised. We're calling it the middle level. That's the adult world. Then you have this really tall third section that's way up high, and that's the surreal world. So anything that doesn't make sense, that, you know, how could people act that way? Or a ghost might come back and visit us. All of that happens up there. So we have distinct areas on stage where things happen. The other way that this is a music video is we actually brought in a video camera to rehearsals and had them play to the camera. Rebecca Ungerman is our music director for this. We really needed somebody who understood this kind of music, and she's been amazing. She brought in her video camera, and she got right up in people's faces. And the minute that camera went on, the kids got it. In discussing this with the set designer, Michael Rhea, he said that in talking with the original team, what they said was they spent hours and hours and hours watching the YouTube videos of kids who would just sing into a hairbrush in their mirror and then put it on YouTube. That's really the feel. These kids are in front of their mirror. They're singing into their hairbrush. All their thoughts and feelings and emotions are coming out because nobody else is around. Now, we're around, but they're sharing it with us. So it is that intimate feeling of these are their deepest thoughts.
Now, talk about that transition between this 100-year-old play and these very, very modern contemporary songs. You're having to shift in a moment's notice, it sounds like.
Yes. Very few set pieces and props, or it wouldn't work. And we have an amazing lighting designer, Justin Peer, who has come in and designed a rock show. And in fact, part of the set is trussing that would be present in a rock show the whole time. The only thing we couldn't do is pyrotechnics, and it's because of the codes here at the Lorton. But trust me, I wanted to burn it down. so we're going to do that metaphorically.
Speaking.
Yes, we're going to do it metaphorically. But Justin Peer has designed a beautiful rock show. The lighting for the adult world, you'll see it's pretty similar throughout. That's on purpose.
This amber sort
amber
of look.
Amber glow. Yeah. It's closed in.
End of fall. You know, not even the pretty part of fall, the ugly part of fall.
Exactly. That part where you just start getting a little desperate for something green. And so the world is really closed in. We're not using the whole stage when we do those big scenes. And the set is painted in browns. It's painted in wood colors. And so it really plays into that, kind of repressed feeling. Then the minute those rock lights come on, I'm not going to tell you how much we spent on getting extra lighting, but we spent on getting extra lighting to come in. And there are some amazing things that those lights do. And it is a full-on rock show.
Now, you have projections, too, at your disposal. Are you using projections in this? Or
There are some gobos. There are a few projections, too. But it's not realistic. Everything is very metaphorical. So you're not going to see a picture of something up there. You'll see some lighting effects that let you know, it's a moonlit night. Or you'll see something on the back psych that lets you know, hey, something special is going on. But it's all very abstract and metaphorical so as to not detract from what's actually going on stage.
Yeah. Let's hear a little more music. We heard My Junk earlier. What's another good piece to hear from this?
I would say Mama Who Bore Me reprise. It's the girl singing about, Mom, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me all of this? But it's actually quite a fun up-tempo song.
All right. Well, let's hear the music from Spring Awakening, which opens Thursday at the Lorton Performance Center. Michelle Miller Dill, my guest, as TU Theater presents Spring Awakening.
Mama who bore me, Mama who gave me, Mama the angels who made me so sad. Mama who bore me, Mama who gave me, no way to handle things, who made me so sad. Mama the weeping, Mama the angels, no sleep in heaven.
Music from Spring Awakening here on Studio Tulsa, which opens Thursday evening at 8 o'clock and runs through Saturday with a Sunday matinee at 2 p.m. Music of Duncan Sheik, not a well-known name to Broadway, but this one, gosh, I don't know how many Tony Awards. And it was in a year where at the beginning it was sort of expected another musical was going to win a lot, and all of a sudden this just swept everything because this swept people off their feet in New York. But for some reason, it just hasn't made it across the country, or has it? just not here.
Well, what I was told is that they actually tried to come through here, but the lighting requires so much electrics that a lot of houses regionally cannot support it. That it probably hasn't made it regionally, less for the fact of the content. We're a pretty progressive city, and it's really not as salacious as people make it out to be, as we've said. But it's a rock show, and a lot of theaters cannot support a rock show. You have to find the right venue. I think it toured as close as Dallas and toured as close as Fayetteville, Arkansas. Because I know when it toured, I had several students who actually went over to Fayetteville to watch it. I actually had some students who went to New York City when they had a big open call and auditioned for it. And I had one of my students, Claire Ludwig, a couple of years ago, was actually called back for it because she was in my office hyperventilating. I had called her and said, can you be here by 4 o'clock tomorrow? And so we had to set that up for her to get there. So this show has, it keeps popping up. It just keeps popping up here. And Michael Rhea has been a friend of mine for many, many years. And I knew he'd be the perfect one to do it. But I didn't realize he had all these connections with the original show. Mm. And he's the set designer. So it was one of those things that was just meant to be.
And I would assume the kids are, you know, this is a musical really about them for a change, as opposed for them portray somebody who's 20 years older or maybe even 40 years older, as you're often called to do. In university theater.
Exactly. When I set up auditions for this, I spelled out exactly what was going to happen on stage so that there would be no questions. I don't want somebody to do the show if they're uncomfortable with it. And in fact, they had the right to say, I choose not to audition for this show. No penalties, no offense taken. It's just one of those things that you have to have that personal conviction that this is something important. And I have that personal conviction that this, I'm hoping, will spark conversations between parents and children on, well, what do you think is appropriate? What do you think about this? Have you ever faced this situation? So I'm hoping people do bring age-appropriate young people. I would say 14, 13, 14 is probably just fine, but they will not be allowed in without a parent.
Yeah. Now, you're going to have a talk back, I understand?
We're going to try to have a talk back. We are having a reception Friday night, so there's food. And I find that talkbacks tend to go well when there's food involved. So if you would like to talk to me or the cast, then come on out Friday night.
All right. Spring Awakening opens Thursday at 8 o'clock, runs through Saturday with the Sunday matinee at 2 p.m. Great music, up-tempo music. And I tell you, I've heard the cast sing it, and they just bring so much energy to this piece.
This is one of, I've worked with some really talented casts throughout my tenure here and in other shows that I've done. And I have to say, this is one of the most giving, trusting, nurturing, they take care of each other. They're even taking care of me. Cast of students that I have ever worked with in my entire life. I'd put them up against any professional company out there. They're that good.
Well, you can see the results at the Lorton Performance Center this weekend. Michelle Miller-Dill, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Michelle Miller-Dill speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. University of Tulsa Theater presents the musical by Duncan Sheik, Spring Awakening, Thursday through Saturday at 8 o'clock at the Lorton Performance Center with a final Sunday matinee at 2 p.m. For information on tickets, call the TU Department of Theater at 918-631-2566. And of course, tickets will be available at the door. That's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. If you missed one of our recent programs, they're available online anytime at publicradiotulsa.org. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Rich Fisher.